Autumn is in the air, the pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants, pumpkins, when you're grooming, if you know what I'm talking about. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new fourth generation performance package. Boys, get ready for cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping using the promo code HAYES. That's H-A-Y-E-S. Get to manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES. You'll save 20% off plus free shipping.
Malls is nailing it here. He knows when there is a guest host what they like. We started off with Debbie Deb, and he listened to me. My favorite band of all time is Aerosmith, but my favorite song is Deuces Are Wild.
Malls, really?
You are good people, Malls. Love this guy. It's Mail It In Friday on Overdrive, brought to you by Coors Light Mountain Cold Refreshment, made to chill. Andy Petrillo filling in for Brian Hayes, alongside Noodles and the O-Dog. Jabari Greer, former NFL cornerback, TSN NFL analyst, is going to be joining us in just a moment. Question, have either of you seen the new Schumacher documentary?
No.
It's brilliant.
Is it good?
Yeah. You have to watch it. Come on, O.
I'm just saying, like, we all have our, like, Noodles watches hockey and hockey alone, Andy. You obviously do. You do everything because you're a broadcaster, your husband's a... In soccer, you do Olympics, and you dabble in a documentary about car racing. But car racing is the one element of sports. Like, I guess it's weird to call it a sport, but it's a sport. I don't even, like, my 80-year-old buddy asks me all the time, did you wake up and watch the F1 race? I'm like, no, buddy. No
way.
It's
just not even remotely moving the meter for you.
I couldn't. You couldn't pay me money to watch a car race. I'll get up and I'll watch European Tour golf events on Sunday morning. I'll never watch a car race. And everybody says, I got fake car friends now because ever since this documentary came out, all these people claim they're F1 friends, like fans now. And my cousin Teddy Jr. and people up in Collingwood, they have an F1 group, they call it, and they have breakfast and they watch. They don't like it. They'll be done in a month.
But doesn't that also speak to the genius of that series that you get that, new
that
fans?
That series must have been genius because I've had so many people say, I watch that and I'm a diehard now. But my buddies in Collingwood, I think they just want Caesars and breakfast and it's the fake fans.
Well, it's not the Formula One Drive to Survive, right? Because that's what I've seen. I haven't seen the Schumacher one, but I've seen.
No, that's the series.
Seen that series, and I think it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But it's crazy. I'm not a big Formula One guy, but I think I told you guys that story when I played in Florida. Dan Weldon, who's tragically passed away in a crash, I got to skate with him one day. He came and took shots on me, gave me some gloves, and he invited me to hang out on time trials. It was unbelievable going inside the oval and he showed me what, you know, how they charted it with the computers and everything. He was going like 200 miles an hour, like nothing. It was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. That was at the Indy 300 in Miami Speedway. It was awesome. I met Gene Simmons, and that's the Gene Simmons story, that the guy was a jackass, and that was it, and was done with him. But anyways, I got into it then, but I'm a very casual fan. But I will watch it, and I should watch that Schumacher, because you're saying it's amazing?
Oh, it's good just because it's – whether you're – a fan of Formula One or not, it's a story of a human. It's a story of an athlete who was at the top of his sport, and not just that, he was one of those athletes as well that transcended his sport, right? Like, it didn't matter if you were a Formula One fan or not, you know who Michael Schumacher is, and they interview his family. I mean, they talk more about his past and all that. They don't really focus too much on kind of where he is now, but they touch on it a little bit, and it's heartbreaking. It really is heartbreaking. I mean, this guy competed in a sport where truly your life is on the line all the time.
Right.
And to think that he gets, you know, through that career unscathed, you know, and it's like a friggin' skiing accident that that's just kind of, you know, created the world that he lives in now. Anyways, it's very sad, but it's also just, it's very cool to relive how special it was for him to even make it, because Formula One, again, it's money driven, right? And a lot of these, a lot of these drivers get to where they are because they have money, and he did not have it. It was pure talent and skill alone that got him recognized and got him, you know, to rise in the ranks. So that in and of itself is its own kind of really cool story. Anyways,
that is,
that's my recommendation.
I will be watching it.
I'll get to it. I'll get to it one day if there's nothing else to do.
I've got so many shows on the go.
I just can't
do
it. Yeah, I'd rather get involved in anything but that.
You know what I'm obsessed with is a show called Good Girls. It's so funny and it's so good. But
I've seen previews for that.
I'm on season 4 right now, right at the end, episode 16. But I thought it was done at episode 8, and I was like, oh my God, there's another 8 episodes, and I've got like Ted Lasso in the queue. I've got all these shows I got to get through, and I don't have enough time in the day, so it's a battle. I love watching shows, and as O pointed out, right around the corner is hockey, so it's you know, we're gonna be done at that point because we'll be watching hockey, 24/7 pretty much with 32 teams. I wrote it down today. There will be 1,312 NHL games this year, regular season. So
yeah, that's a lot of watching. So I mentioned it off the top and, you know, kind of skimmed over it when Tavares joined us earlier. We're going to be replaying that at about 6:25, the interview with the Toronto Maple Leaf captain. But starting tomorrow in Ontario, they've increased the capacity, like the fans that can be in there, right? So indoors, you can now have a max of 10,000, whereas before it was 1,000 indoors. And outdoors, you can now have a max of 30,000, where previously it was 15,000. Right. You guys good going? I mean, obviously, we know MLSE has instituted the whole got to show proof of vaccination type of stuff. Because I know this has been a conversation for the last year. Sadly, we're still, you know, having it because it hasn't gone away yet, you know, the COVID. But you feel comfortable going?
I'll take it, Andy. I'll take it. I'm comfortable going and I'll take it just to kind of, like, just to go to a game. Like, I just think it's great for the players. It's great for everybody. I want everybody to be safe, but I want the Toronto players to have fans in the building. Everybody's safe. I want the Jays players to come out in front of 30,000 people or whatever it is, just so it doesn't have to say, well, they go to another park or another arena and it's packed and ours sucks because it isn't. So I'm glad for those two reasons.
Yeah, and I've been to quite a few soccer matches already this past summer. You feel great. You do feel safe. And bottom line is you just have to be smart about how you kind of go about doing things anyways, right? But very excited that fans can get back into the building here in Ontario and the athletes will be able to hear them cheering them on. Let's talk a little NFL now as we welcome on in Jabari Greer, TSN NFL analyst. Jabari, I have to say right out of the gate, I am thoroughly entertained by your analysis where you just go on this monologue. I mean, you take on the different characters. You have a pipe. Who has a pipe? But it didn't matter. It absolutely worked. I loved it. I mean, tell me there's more coming down the pipe that we can be entertained by.
Well, I really appreciate that, first of all. You know, as a creative man, it's one thing as an athlete where somebody says that, you know, I love the way that you play. I love the way that you run. I love the way that you jump. I appreciate that. But when someone says that they love my creativity, man, you might as well be feeding me filet mignon all day, man. I love it. I really appreciate it. That's the way to my heart. I thank you so much.
There you go.
Jabari, do you think Sam Darnold's going to get a pipe? Because when I watch this, what does it mean to you, him succeeding? Is it mean, like, I just go back to the Jets and I look at the Jets and I'm like, how did you screw this up? Or is it the player, the situation? Like, I just keep going back to the Jets. I'm like, you guys are just a mess. And now this guy's turning into a star game by game in Carolina.
Well, yeah. I think it's not such a secret that you are, I mean, your success depends on the program in which you, the system in which you get drafted into, or the system in which you get implanted into. Just imagine, I mean, case in point. Okay, this is one that may seem kind of obscure, but Russell Wilson, he goes to Seattle and has an incredible opportunity. They have a great defense. They really they really built the offense around him. They let him do what he does well, and they don't try to fit him into a system that's out of control, as opposed to Sam Darnold goes to a system in which he's playing outside of his strength. He doesn't have the weapons around him, and he looks the way he does. But the best example is Lamar Jackson. Okay, now, if a coach, you know, NFL coaches get prideful. They get a lot of money. They're just as prideful as people, and they want their system to work. They want their system to be known as the revolutionary way to do business. So just imagine if Greg Roman got a quarterback like Lamar Jackson and said, you know what, I like Lamar, he's great, but I'm going to make him do, we're going to run my system. Lamar Jackson would have been out of the league in 2 years. But it was a smart coach that allowed his system to fit the players. And now we see this right now with the offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers, making sure that they put Sam Darnold in the right position. Now, case in point, I mean, now you got to understand, they got playmakers like Christian McCaffrey, he gets hurt. But before, I mean, he's leading the NFL in total yards. They got DJ Moore out there. They have Robbie Anderson before last night was averaging 23 yards per catch. So they have solidified playmakers. Chuba Hubbard now, you know, your Canadian guy out there, really, they establishing him in the offense. So they have many, many weapons that he did not have in New York. And plus, he has a system right now that is built around what he does well.
Well, you just mentioned, I mean, sticking with the Panthers and McCaffrey getting injured there, you know, in that second quarter, they knew he was out, still pulled off the victory, and the Canadian, Chuba Hubbard, filled in. But what can we realistically expect from Hubbard? What do you want to see from him?
Well, I want to see him go north and south, get the ball and get as many yards as he can. But, I mean, we have to be realistic, you know. He's not going to be Christian McCaffrey right now. Because Christian McCaffrey can do so many things out of the backfield. Block, he becomes that third receiver. He can run through the tackles. Chuba Hubbard, he's a great talent. And we might see him make his own mark. But as long as we try to compare him to Christian McCaffrey, he's going to come up short. He may one day make his own name, and we may be talking about a young guy becoming the next Chuba Hubbard. But as of right now, he has to be able to create his own niche. And they're going to have to be able to give him opportunities by making it a backfield by committee. Use Royce Freeman to be able to pound that rock. You don't want to give Chuba Hubbard the ball 30 times up the middle. You know what I mean? You want to be able to get him out in space, really give him the confidence that he can dominate in this NFL. We saw him do it at Oklahoma State. So a young guy like this, just like the quarterback position, the running back position, you have to be able to get this guy emotionally connected and confident in his game so that he can dominate. So if they just try to do something, if they try to use him outside of his skill set, it's not going to work. They have to be able to use what he does well, create some opportunities outside, and then we'll see Chuba Hubbard become the player that they hoped that he could be when they drafted him.
Jabari, we were talking about before the season, everyone always focuses on the teams who are going to be really good. So I said, you know what, let's try and choose a team that is going to absolutely stink right from the start of the season and not get better. And I'm looking at some 0-2 teams. You know, is there a team that you are 0-2 and you're like, there's no chance. Maybe they'll win one game this season. And then maybe is there an 0-2 team that can dig out? A team like Minnesota maybe, or the Giants. But who is the worst team in the NFL right now, and who is a team that can dig out from 0-2?
Oh, that's a great question. Now, I believe a lot of that has to do with leadership. So I think you actually said two teams right there that really make great sense. I believe that Minnesota can get out of that hole. They lost some pieces on defense. But Kirk Cousins is a quarterback that, although he's not going to win you a title, you know, they can get to the playoffs with Kirk Cousins. He's the leader that they brought in, and he's had success there. They have some great opportunity. They have some great playmakers. Dalvin Cook, they got Justin Jefferson. I mean, they have playmakers that can really get them a great, great opportunity. Patrick Peterson now. on the defense. You know, so they have players there. I don't believe that they're going to be they're going to win. They're going to get back to where, you know, and Zimmer's a great coach. They're going to get back to where they want to get to. Now, on the other side, when you look at the New York Giants, well, both of them, New York Giants and the New York Jets, man, really, pick one. Which one you want to go with? And these guys both, you know, these teams, they find a way to lose. And, you know, I mean, I would have to be easy on the Jets because when you get a new quarterback, you're essentially saying that you're rebuilding. But, you know, I mean, listen, the Giants are rolling with Daniel Jones, and they've doubled down on Daniel Jones and said Daniel Jones is going to be our guy. And the question is, really, is he? You know, he's been really sporadic. He's had some showings in which, you know, he's played really well. When you look at that Monday Night Football game, he played really well in spurts.
He can be your guy, Jabari, but I don't know what the hell you're going to get out of that.
Yeah, like how many times are we going to see Daniel Jones break out an 80-yard running touchdown, man? Like, this dude does it almost every week, you know what I mean? And then he throws, like, two or three interceptions, but then you got Saquon Barkley back there. But when you have a team that's not disciplined, that shoots themselves in the foot, they were going to win the game and jumps offside on a field goal. Dude misses a field goal and they jump offside. You can't, you know, it's like, come on, man. That's just undisciplined football. And if you have that, that speaks more to your character and not your ability.
Jabari Greer joining us here talking NFL. Some news just came out today about Super Wild Card Weekend. So instead of it just happening on the weekend, right, there's going to be games now on Monday. So Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And right away, Jabari, you know, a lot of people are saying that, you know, the teams that play on the Monday, that the winner coming out of that is going to be at a disadvantage because the turnaround is a lot tighter for the teams that played on the weekend. Where are your thoughts on that?
Well, I can see what they're talking about. But, I mean, when you get to the playoffs, you know, when you're in the locker room, just tell me when to play. You know, if I play on Monday and I got to play again that Saturday, you know, it doesn't matter because it really doesn't matter. Because whenever I got to line up, if I really want this, I say that I want to win the Lombardi Trophy. I say that I've left my family. You know, every day at 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, I come in 8 o'clock at night. I watch film. I'm a detached father. I'm a detached husband because I'm working on this one goal. And I'm going to let a Monday Night Football game deter me from winning this, from doing whatever I need to do. It's like, no, we don't do that. So you may think that, you know, from the outside looking in, this is why I love the locker room because it's a bubble. You know, everybody on the outside has this interpretation of what these things mean. You know, what does it mean when you got to play on a Monday instead of a Saturday or Sunday? You know, you're not going to have as much rest. But when you're in that bubble, it's like, dude, I play on Thursday night and then turn around and play on play on Sunday. Because this is what we have to do. Whenever we call, whatever we got to do to get the job done, we're going to do it. And we're like, at that point, I'm tired and my opponent's tired. I'm hurt. And my opponent's hurt. Nobody's in the playoffs and playing at 100%. Everybody has a nick. Everybody has a bruise. Everybody has a sprain. Everybody has something. So whether you got a sprain on Sunday or you got a sprain on Monday, it don't matter. You're still going to be hobbling, but you're going to work until the job is done.
Just do what you need to do to win that trophy. That is all. Jabari, appreciate taking the time, and I'm looking forward to those monologues.
We love the creativity,
the single man performance.
Awesome.
There.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Have a good one, y'all.
That is Jabari Greer, TSN NFL analyst. Here comes another read. O-Dog, this is all you here because this week's NFL picks are brought to you by BookSeats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world. BookSeats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. You are Team Al-Dog. You guys took the Panthers. -8, Panthers covered. You feeling good about yourself?
Love it. We have some big time work. But it all comes down to the Monday Nighter. The Monday Nighter is worth the most dollars. So you can kind of go back and forth with wins, losses, weekend, Thursday night. But Monday night is where it counts. And I'm expecting Al's brother to be doing his research. So come the time on Monday, we make the right selection. Or it might be Hazy B anyway, so we might not have a choice.
I didn't. Who won last night?
Carolina.
Yeah, Carolina.
No, I know, but who won the bet? Who won
the
bet?
We did.
I know.
Oh, yeah, Carolina. We covered. Yeah, we covered.
Okay, there you're covered. Because I thought Hayes was trying to goad you into it, but then watching the game, I couldn't remember who had bet on what. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're dialed in last night.
Yeah, he's taking the Chargers plus +7. So you guys are taking the Bucks. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
I believe so. Yeah.
And Hayes is taking the 49ers.
Yeah.
So there you go. Team Hayes right now leading you guys, but just by one.
That's right. Yeah, we're right there. We're right there.
You are closing that gap. This week's NFL picks were brought to you by BookSeats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world. BookSeats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. This is the true definition of Mail It In Friday. When we come back, we'll be taking you back to an interview we did at 4.05 p.m. ET. But it's a good one because it's with the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs, John Tavares. That's what we're going to get to next year on Overdrive. So earlier today, to kick off the show, we had captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs, John Tavares, join us. If you missed it, don't worry. We're going to replay it now. And, of course, we started by asking him about that big hit in the playoffs and how he's currently feeling. Have a listen.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Obviously a significant situation I went through and whatnot. I'm just really thankful and fortunate that things couldn't have gone better from the moment. Really in the care of all the people that helped me through the incident at the hospital. And, you know, once I was discharged, honestly, other than being really tired for a day or two just because of going through the bit of the aftershock and trying to, sort through what happened, and then just being really tired because I didn't really sleep a whole lot, trying to catch up with family and friends in the hospital and my teammates, just making telling everyone that I was doing well and being okay. You know, I really never had any symptoms or after effects, and just kind of continued to progress throughout that time. And then once the off season came, was able to obviously have a lot of time to kind of just build myself back up and continue to clear every hurdle, and but was on the ice really quickly into the off season and got cleared really early on to resume just full activity on the ice, full participation, and just kind of no restrictions. So, and then now obviously this is the next step in getting back to game speed and you know, things being for real here the last couple of days and getting ready for first game action since then. So things have been good. Obviously was not easy for my family at the time, and like I said, just really fortunate and really thankful getting back to this point and how things have gone. So I feel great, really looking forward to a new season, a new opportunity, and the group we have, and just continuing to move forward from it, and taking it as a chance to get better as a person, health-wise, and then just even as a hockey player, just an opportunity to really have time to work on things and build myself back up. So it's been really good and great first couple of days of camp. So excited for what's ahead.
Great to hear that, obviously. I think, you know, a lot of people were concerned. And we heard right away, even as the playoffs continued, that you were sending messages to the team, you know, obviously being the captain, being a leader. But why did you also feel that that was important to communicate with the guys on what felt like a daily basis?
Yeah. I know just from talking to them and my family and whatnot, how, they talked about how it was difficult to watch and to see, and for me not having any memory and really no pain associated with it, it was hard for me even really to truly understand. I think even now, still processing it, it's in a way almost kind of like it never happened to me, just because I don't have a memory of the hit, and then just no pain associated with it or any symptoms after. So still understanding, I think. You know, as I was kind of coming back and being on the stretcher and in the ambulance, you know, just kind of hit me that something serious had happened, and just wanting to make sure I was okay. There was obviously some stress through that. But once I got to the hospital and things were starting to slow down, and I was starting to kind of collect my thoughts and realize that I was feeling pretty good, and we did all the precautionary testing and was in great care, I was feeling really good about that. So I just wanted to communicate just how I was feeling to everyone, letting them know I was okay, and that they can just focus on what they had to do to compete and play, and that Hopefully I'll be back soon and just kind of work my way and wanted to continue to be a part of it and let them know I was their biggest fan and doing anything I can in any way possible since I couldn't be on the ice and was difficult to miss those games and that opportunity. So, yeah, just really wanting to continue to be a part of the group and help in any way I can.
How important is it, John, to get off to a good start and kind of get a good feeling back? Andy was talking about people don't know if they were going to be in the building or the excitement level going into this season. I know it sucks to have to show up to training camp and have to ask the questions about last year because people still want to know about it. They seem fascinated with it. But how important is it just for some positive stuff, fans in the building, wins, solid play right off the hop to get that mojo going for you guys?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a new opportunity, but you know, we have to embrace learning from last year and how hard that disappointment was and still is, and you know, a driving force it's got to be for us. And you know, people have gone through a lot here as players and all the challenges with the pandemic the last year and a half. So having the opportunity to play in front of our fans tomorrow and hopefully more and more as time goes on and hopefully things continue to improve, it's going to be a big boost for us. A lot of the teams around the league obviously have had fans at some point to finish the season last year and some of them even full buildings. So for us to get to where we're at now and hopefully only improving going forward, it's going to be a massive boost for us just playing in front of Leafs Nation and the city. And you know, we miss that greatly, and we really think it can be a real bonus for us and certainly hopefully give us a nice boost here early on to get off to a good start and put us in a good spot, you know, heading in for a long grind this year. So, yeah, it's going to be exciting. I think as players, we recognize how much we missed them last year, the benefit they give us, and we're looking forward to having that back.
When you say learning experience or learn from last year, can you kind of expand on that? It seems to be something you guys have said, and I think what a fan would want to know, like what would you learn from something like last year? Like late in a game, no turnovers. Can you just expand on the learning aspect of it?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things. You know, there's always a lot of talk about the highs and the lows of a season. And being a very consistent team. And I think, you know, when things are growing really well, even how to really keep that in check and manage when things are going your way and you have a lot of positivity and things are in your favor, how just to make sure no matter what, you can't lose that edge and understanding just how difficult it is to get to where you want to get to at any point in the season, whether you're on a 3-4-5 game winning streak. You're first in the division, won the division the way we did, being up 3-1 in a series. Just understanding when things are going well and things are going your way, how you just have to keep that same type of mindset and attitude of keeping the foot on the gas and just being such a stingy team, a hard team to play against, and always just sticking to what we're about and dictating play and controlling play. That's one aspect, and obviously we've had a lot of disappointment. You know, for me, 3 years, and for a lot of the core guys that have been here, a couple more years of that. And I think it's obviously been hard, but we know how committed we are, how much we believe in each other, and in our group, and what's in our locker room. It's just to keep facing that and take it head on, and not to push it to the side, or not to acknowledge it, understanding the challenges that we face and how we have to face those head on and keep banging at the door until we knock it down. So I think just from the mindset in that way, I think we have a good formula and the way we really improved in all aspects of the game last year and how well balanced we were. And I think just continuing that mindset, and as we've talked about with the approach to camp from management and the staff this year, is to continuing to raise our standard. You know, we've set a really good standard here as keepers come in. And what he's expected of us and the changes that he's made, and it's continuing to raise that with our play and those areas we want to be in, along with, you know, some of those mindset pieces that I think that can be really helpful for us.
John, before we get into some of the personnel changes, I just had a quick follow on O's question about, you know, moving forward instead of looking back. Have you guys maybe discussed internally? You knew that day one of training camp and probably in the first couple days of doing the rounds and interviews, you were going to be looking back and talking about, you know, some of the disappointment last year. But is it game one of the preseason? Is it game one of the regular season where you're going to go, it's enough, let's look forward instead of trying to tie lines backwards? Have you had any type of internal discussions about something like that? Because it just, you don't want to continue to beat a dead horse, and there's a lot of people that continue to bring it up.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, we as teammates and as an organization, you know, we obviously took a lot of hard, long looks and talked a lot amongst one another throughout the off season and just where we can be better and how we can, continue to improve and how we can continue, you know, try to get over the hurdles that we've been facing that have given us difficulties. And then it's, you know, you put in that work and you work on the mindset and the attitude, and then you bring those things to training camp and understanding it's a long grind. It's a long process, one day at a time. And it's cliche, but it really makes a lot of sense. We're trying to work for that opportunity again. And just to get to the playoffs, we know how difficult that is in this league. And we did a really good job last year and the expectations we created in the regular season. And that's only going to get harder with an 82 game season again. The division that we play in, and just year in and year out, the league only gets tougher, only gets tighter. Every team just gets more and more competitive. And, I think just continuing to start this journey, it's a new journey. There's a lot we can learn on from the past. It's not something we talk about on a daily basis, but it's not something we're hiding away from either. I think we want to take it head on and continue to march forward and continue to grow and challenge ourselves and look forward to this new opportunity this coming season.
John Tavares joining us here on Overdrive, and it sounded like you guys had a good hash-out session. Wayne Simmons saying you invited some of the guys up to the cottage this summer, had your say, and I guess now was that kind of like that ritual, you know, how sometimes girls, when they break up with a guy, they're just burning the photos in the bonfire, when there's some photos being burned of the past, just let it go, and now it's time to move forward?
Yeah, I think it's just always good to get together whenever you can, especially as many local guys we have. And it was a good time in the off season for guys to kind of that have been at the facility or been around in the city quite a bit. And I'm up north quite a bit in the off season, so it was nice to just have a little change of pace and put in some good work. And then I think just to enjoy being around one another, and some of the new guys that we added helped them feel fit in, part of the group. Especially you get to really know people away from the rink and who they are, instead of just kind of always being focused on, getting your training in, getting on the ice and working on your game and those things. So it was a nice time to spend with one another and kind of get caught up. And I think naturally, we continue wanting to help each other get better and learn and understand where we're at and how we can, keep marching forward so we can get to where we want to get to and overcome the hurdles and the challenges that we face. And that's amongst our group and whatnot. So we got a great bunch of people with tremendous attitude that are very hungry and want to push one another. So, it was a great time, and it was a great opportunity to train and skate a little bit and have a different environment and just a little refresh for a lot of us that obviously, I think with the circumstances of the pandemic too, just getting out of the city and getting out of town for a few days was really good.
I talked about the turnover of the roster. Obviously, the core's still there. With the, I guess, departure of Hyman, Foligno, Thornton, guys on that left side, you're going to be having a new line mate. Obviously, if you stay with Willie on your right side, is that something that you're looking forward to settling in with somebody? Do you have an idea of who you want to play with? Has Sheldon kind of given you an idea? You don't have to tip your hand, but it's more about just behind the scenes. You don't have to tell us, but we'd like you to tell us. But, I mean, is it something that you have input with or something that you're thinking about?
Well, I think indication I got from coaching staff and management is just obviously with some guys that were really key players for us that have moved on and aren't with us anymore. There's real good opportunity and room for competition amongst the lineup and the opportunities, and I'm really excited for that. And I think that's going to be great for our group, great for our team, and a lot of the additions that we've brought in. So I think there's a lot of scenarios probably that coaching staff and management that have played out. There's been nothing, I think, set in stone or locked in that they're set on. From my understanding, from my messaging from them, or their messaging to me, I think it's up to myself and to a lot of our key guys, core guys, to really, you know, push these guys competing for spots and opportunity to know that whether their role ends up or whether they might play, they're going to be so valuable for us. We need them night in and night out, no matter where that is in the lineup or how they're playing, and whether that's going to be guys that are going to be up and down this year, guys playing in the top six, bottom six, offensive type of roles, more you know, hard to play against type of roles, things like that. I think it's up to us as a leadership group and myself to whoever we're playing with is to get the absolute most out of them and to know that how valuable and important they are to our lineup. So, but yeah, Sheldon's mostly indicated, I think, just the different combinations that he's going to be looking at and the competition he wants to see throughout camp for the group to really push themselves, to push each other, and for guys to elevate, to see how things shake out. So
quickly, before you get out of here, you mentioned the Olympic team. What do you think that's going to take? Is that just, you got anything like set in stone, or is it numbers, or you just want to play well every night and just force somebody to pick you?
I think that's it. I think just to play well and force them to pick me. I think obviously it's an incredibly hard team to make. You know, obviously really want to be a part of it. I was really fortunate to be a part in 2014. From an individual standpoint, it didn't end the way I wanted to, but getting hurt and not playing in the semis or the finals. But, you know, tremendously special to get a gold medal at the Olympic Games representing Canada, especially in ice hockey, is pretty tremendous. So, but if I just focus on doing what I have to do for the Maple Leafs and the role that I have here, and just doing a good job of taking care of business here and working towards trying to get us to the playoffs and whatnot, just let the rest take care of itself. And if I'm playing well, that hopefully just forces them to see the value in having me part of the group that can help them go to Beijing and get a gold medal.
Well, I know personally, as you just mentioned, what happened in Sochi 2014, it would be great for you. And it's just great for us as viewers to also see NHLers back at the Olympics. So really special year, obviously, coming on up between the season and it looking normal again, John being home. And it looks like about 10,000 fans will be allowed inside Scotiabank Arena starting this year. So appreciate you taking the time. Best of luck. And yeah, with the preseason starting tomorrow, trying to get those feet under you. So really appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Thought Malls was going to do his sister a solid and edit out where I was like jumping on John Tavares.
It's all good.
I got out of the way. But there you go. That was John Tavares from earlier today when we talked to him. You know, I never asked you, Noodles, because we've been trying to figure out the new personnel. Bottom line is we're not going to know until they finally start playing regular season games. And we can't even talk about what they're going to do in the first round of the playoffs until they get through a regular season and qualify for the playoffs. But what about the goalie tandem? Like, what kind of faith do you have in this and, you know, what they're able to pull off here? Campbell looking to establish number one. Mrazek, you know, is he a dependable backup that you feel can come on in case he falters a bit?
I personally think they're a tandem. I don't see either one of them as a one, but that doesn't mean that's a bad thing necessarily. I think Mrazek will have great stretches and so will Jack. And it's more about, you know, how you manage that. Heading into the playoffs type of thing. But they're both very good goaltenders. If I had to line up Freddie Anderson, Peter Mrazek, and Jack Campbell and say choose one goalie, it's Freddie Anderson for me. But Anderson has had injury issues, inconsistency issues. So the two other guys, Campbell and Mrazek, as a partner or a tandem, I think it's a solid tandem. So, you know, I don't think it's a step back, but I don't think it's a massive step forward. I think it's just a lateral move, and Mrazek is the wild card for me. And let's not forget, I don't anticipate, I'm not sure how you feel, but is Jack Campbell going to go 17-0 or undefeated in 17? I don't see it happening this year. He might take a step back and come back down to earth a little bit too in his play. That's where you have a healthy competition in net, and that's a good thing. I think Mrazek is a really good goaltender, and I think Jack Campbell's a really good goaltender, too.
Well, there's the truth. Freddie Anderson's no longer a Leaf, hence why I said I'm not doing Leafs lunch anymore.
Wow.
There you go. I make a joke.
You're a big Freddie fan. Big Freddie fan.
Big Freddy. A big Freddy fan. I will not apologize. If you're watching on TV over my shoulder, obviously that's not Freddy. That's Felix Potvin. But, yeah, I am. I've told you. There's no shame in me admitting I'm the goalie hugger.
You're not just a Freddy fan. You love the goaltenders.
I will defend them right to the end. It's always a bad line change that led to the goal. It had absolutely nothing to do with the goalie, and I'm always going to stick with that.
Never the goalie's fault. I agree.
See? Thanks, Noodles. We're going to mail it in for the final time coming up next year on Overdrive. Stay with us. Final time to mail it in here on Overdrive. Mail it in Friday, brought to you by Coors Light, Mountain Cold Refreshment, made to chill. Brian Hayes literally mailed it in. He's just not even here. But weekend plans, gentlemen. Noodles, what are you doing this weekend as we say goodbye to another week?
First of all, hang on a second, Andy.
Oh, sorry. Oh.
He doesn't go outside. He'll be dialed into hockey. Like, he'll be scouting. He'll be dialed into warm-ups, goaltending tandems, D-pairings, who's making it, who's not. But go ahead, Noodles, tell us.
All of the above. But I will say that I am sneaking outside for a few hours tonight. I'm going down to Budweiser stage. I'm going to watch the Recklaws play and Dean Brody.
Nice.
They are performing tonight, and I've got a car waiting.
Excuse you.
I will go. I will slide out there and check them out. You guys know I'm fans of the Recklaws, and it'll be pretty cool.
You played with them in Ottawa.
Well, yeah, I mean, I did. I got to play with them, but yeah, they're awesome, and they're playing Budweiser stage, so I'm going to slide over there and check it out. It's outside, so obviously social distance, mask, and fully vaccinated, all that fun stuff, but. Be kind of neat to experience a concert. And then, and you're right, it starts hockey tomorrow night. I'll be glued to the TV and tracking the league and all that type of stuff. How about you, what are you? Are you golfing? Or not golfing, but...
He's watching the Ryder Cup.
Oh, what, are you done with golf?
No,
is golfing
no,
done?
No, no. I think we got another solid month left in us. I'll be teeing it early with my buddy Mike Draper up in Collingwood tomorrow, first thing in the morning, and then it's just right down to the couch to it's just all weekend. Like, it's I will not move. It's just one of those, like, every major Ryder Cup, I ain't moving. I'm just
I'll just sit there and watch.
Bare essentials. Like, if I got to take the garbage out or do some pickup food, I'll do it. But other than that, not moving.
Feathers. Or take the food out of the drain or just let it go down the drain?
I've been told, like, just don't. I wasn't happy that I brought it up, but also.
Because no one took your side.
Right. And that's right. I was also, it was proven that you're not supposed to do it. So double whammy for me there.
Well, there you go. It is what it is. But yeah, somebody sent us the actual, like, legislator or, like, comments that in the Toronto area, Ottawa, and somewhere else, carburetors are banned nowhere else. So I don't know why, if it's like just like a certain area. Might be the sewage or the plumbing or something that. I have no idea. But it is what it is. There's nothing you can do about it. So
did I ever tell you my aunt, who messes up everyone's name, her neighbors are good friends of the brother and sister there of the Recklaws. And she had no clue who they were. God bless my aunt. And they were performing, having a great little time, just small family gathering because they're friends of the family. Yeah. And she was so excited that she was like, I'm pretty sure I met these, like, famous people. And it turns out they're hockey fans and everything, too. They're the in-laws. I'm like, who? I have never heard of this group in my life. She just insisted their name was the in-laws. I'm like, I'm pretty sure you're talking about the Recklaws. So she got herself a nice, intimate concert there, and she had no clue who they were.
Oh, really?
I'm like, where was my invite? How did I not get a phone call here? Because I would have bombed up to her place.
I know, we would have. But, ultimately it's, I get to be a fanboy for a night. It'll be exciting. So, you know what? You hang around in the background and listen to some music. It'll be awesome. And where's your dog? Have you let the dog back in the house again or not?
Oh, yeah. She's sleeping in her little bed behind me. She's very well behaved.
I was concerned that you tossed her outside, because that's what I would have done, like out in the backyard, throw it until the end of the show. Yeah. I mean, animals don't like me, but I like your dog, and I like O's got two cats, right?
You have a second one now?
You can't.
Listen, I'm trying to get a second dog. It is not easy because, first of all, I'm also not paying $10,000 because they're taking advantage of people wanting dogs. So I think I'm gonna try. I'm trying to adopt one. I'm trying to be a good person. The whole adopt don't shop. So we'll see how that goes. But it's not easy getting a second dog. Maybe that's what I'll work on.
Yeah, the Humane Society. Go to the Humane Society in Etobicoke. They're adopting lots of dogs.
Because we need to be good people. Noodles, oh, appreciate you letting me crash your party once again here on Overdrive. Everyone have a wonderful weekend, and you resume Monday, yes?
Yes.
We'll chat then.